Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now playing Open Floor.
This is Open Floor. Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix back at it. An NBA podcast with Sports Illustrated senior writer.
I think it's time that the world get to know
my guy Chris Mannix.
I think your opinion is shared by everyone.
And now it begins.
Now it begins.
Bang!
All right, Brian Keith is here, Washington Wizards head coach, Winchester, Mass's finest. You know, one thing I was thinking, Brian, are you the biggest name to come out of Winchester, Massachusetts?
Oh, no. God, no. Certainly not. Joe Bellino, Heisman Trophy winner. That would be the biggest name out of Winchester, Massachusetts. A guy named Bob Bigelow, too, drafted in the, I think, the 73 draft, 13th pick.
NBA. Okay.
There's some people way bigger than me, trust me.
Okay. Now, I see, I'm from Quincy, so I can always say no to anyone that would ever remotely ask that question, because John Adams and John Quincy Adams, two presidents, born in Quincy, Massachusetts.
We have a few. Yo-Yo Ma, the famous.
See, now there's one. There's a good one. Yo-Yo Ma would definitely exceed you.
Lived in Winchester for a little while, for sure.
Oh, lived, but I mean, you got to.
I don't think he's from there, but he lived there for a while.
I like it. I like it. You of course, played basketball in Winchester. Good basketball player back then. When you were playing high school basketball in Winchester, were you like the typical, like, you know, I got game. I'm going to go pro. I'm going to make it someday.
I always had aspirations to play at the highest level I could. Always wanted to play high level Division I. That was the goal. Was a late developer and finally got the opportunity to do that. But, you know, I grew up in a great era, as you know, you and I are relatively around the same age. Mm-hmm. I mean, these Celtics, like, my gosh, you know, this is why I fell in love with the game. So great time for me.
When was your kind of playing days, you know, I'm probably not going to make it all the way moment? Did you have one of those?
You know, I was in the CBA, the old CBA, and I was invited to their training camp. And I was doing okay, and somebody got cut from an NBA training camp. I knew who it was. It was Kevin Ollie, who I ended up coaching. Mm. And he came down. They said, you could part ways. So I kind of knew I probably could end up maybe playing overseas for a little bit, but I probably was not going to make it in the big leagues. So
was that a tough moment for you there, coming to that realization?
Yeah, I mean, he wanted to play as long as I could, but I squeezed everything I possibly could out of my body. So
it's all you can hope for, right?
That's all you can hope for.
You know, kind of doing research for this conversation, I was looking through some old clips, and I remember seeing the Kevin Durant clip when Kevin Durant said you were one of the most influential people in his playing career. That was peak KD. That was back when he had signed with the Warriors, playing at the highest of possible levels. As a coach, what did you think when you heard him say that?
Yeah, someone had told me about that. You know, obviously you're humbled by stuff like that. This is, you know, someone I spent a lot of time with and tried to help him as best I could. But, you know, like when you're around a great player like him who had the drive to be, you know, this guy was driven, the work ethic that he put, the time he put into it. I was just thankful to learn from him. So the fact that he thought that I was helpful in his career somewhat, I think that's the goal for any guy you're working for. But I spent a lot of time with Kevin. So, you know, you have a lot of gratitude when someone says some nice things about you, for sure.
Do you know what you have in front of you when you were looking at a young Kevin Durant? Like, do you know, like, right away that, wow, this guy is going to be something special?
You could tell pretty quickly, and it was, obviously he had some of the skill set and some of those things, but it was the capacity to work. This guy loved the game so much, and just the amount of time that he put into it. It didn't take long to understand, like, this guy's going to be pretty good because of how much he really puts into this. Mm-hmm. I think I've said it before. This is not an accident that he turned into the player that he became. And I obviously got the chance to watch that firsthand, but it was on a day-to-day basis on how he worked. So tremendous lessons for me as a young coach. You learned a lot by being around someone like that, for sure.
And he's still ridiculously good now at this age. Like, it's remarkable seeing him play right now at the Olympics and last season playing at this level. Is any of that surprise you that he's still, you know, Kevin Durant still in his mid 30s?
No, because you know, he's still putting the time in. He loves the game. This is one thing that people realize when you're around him. This is a guy who's just totally consumed by the game of basketball and how to get better at it on a day-to-day basis. Mm. He has figured out how to do that. Man, you know, he's going to keep going as long as he can. So I'm not surprised.
So you're an assistant coach on those Thunder teams, and now you're getting a head coach opportunity. 15 years or so, I think, as an assistant coach in the NBA, 5 different stops in the NBA. Were you ever wondering kind of when your opportunity might come before what happened last year came up?
You know, I think for me, you always have aspirations. Everybody thinks should have those things, but I just kind of focused on what was ahead of me. What the job was at the time, I always felt like if I just did the best job I could wherever I was, that hopefully something would go my way at some point. And obviously, you know, really grateful for the opportunity here in Washington. But my focus was just being the best assistant that I possibly could, serve the players and the coaches and the organizations that I was working for. And then, you know, you hope something like this works out at some point.
You've coached under a lot of good head coaches. You've coached the highest level in the finals as an assistant coach. As you kind of begin to formally embark on your head coaching journey here, what are some things you've picked up along the way over these last 15 years?
You know, I think, you know, I was really lucky. I got my first start in the NBA is with the San Antonio Spurs, and you got to see how things were done as from a coaching staff and learning from the players and obviously from an organizational side. And then, you know, obviously Oklahoma City was a really unique experience for me because I was getting the chance to learn and grow with my, you know, an organization that was building, but I was getting thrown in there myself and I was learning and growing as a young coach myself. So I think it's all these experiences that you take from each place you go, but you got to be authentic to yourself and you got to coach the way that is unique to your own personality. So I think those are the things you learn as you go along the way, but you definitely are taking bits and pieces of things that you like and, you know, identify to help shape the things that you believe in, the values that you believe in. So I've had a good career, lucky to work with a lot of great coaches, and I learned from a lot of them.
What were those early San Antonio years like for you? Because there was a lot of brain power in that Spurs organization, not just at the very top with Pop and R.C. Buford, but Sam Presti was there. Great assistant coaches on that staff, several of which have gone on to be head coaches in the NBA. What was it like kind of working in those rooms during that year?
I mean, you know, I'm so thankful for those times. I mean, this was my start. My first year, we win 64 games. The next year, we win the championship in 07. And like you said, it was obviously Pop and R.C., but you know, the players like Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony, obviously, but then guys like Bruce Bowen and Brent Berry and Fabricio Berto and like Robert Horry, Michael Finley. You think about these guys, pros, guys who understood. And I got to see this on a day-to-day basis and how they prepared themselves, how they got themselves ready to play. And, you know, lessons I still take with me to this day, but, you know, you pinch yourself when you think about it. And I think back on those things that I got to see how this thing operated. And I think about it quite a lot, so obviously super grateful.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Now, you were the video coordinator that year or those years, right? So Will Hardy's come on the show and he's told me plenty of his Pop stories, kind of getting chewed out by Pop, his welcome to the NBA moment from Pop. Do you have any of those? Do you have any moments where you thought, like, you know, you might get fired because of something that happened in that locker room?
Yeah, you were always, that's the one thing about there. You always wanted to make sure that you were on top of your game. And my whole goal was to make sure that you had everything right, that no one had to ask for anything. I kind of went unscathed from Coach Popovich. Good. But there was a level of seriousness and a professionalism that you learned there, that we had high expectations on every level. So the, you know, even as a, and I was started as a, basically as an intern, that like, there was a certain expectation how I would act and how I should perform. And I think those are great things for when I was like a young coach developing to who I wanted to be. You got to see that. So that stuff was great.
So you take over the Wizards right around the midway point of last season. When the season ends, what are you thinking at that point? Are you thinking you've got a shot to keep this job? Are you thinking you're probably going to wind up looking for another job? What's your mindset then?
You know, my whole thing was, and I never thought about it much, and I got this question asked a lot in the media by our local people, was my sole focus was just to help the team get better on a day-to-day basis. How can we improve? How can we improve as a coaching staff? How can I get better? And then just attack that process. So I just went through that day by day. How can, that was the mantra for me with our team, was process, daily habits. How do we keep getting better? And then when the season was over, you know, I kind of reflected on like, hey, we did the best that we could. I thought our group improved. I thought we showed some development. I thought there was work left undone. So you were hopeful that maybe you would get the opportunity, but you had to let that process play out. But I felt comfortable that I did as best as I could, and hopefully I would get the opportunity to talk to management, ownership, and present my feelings going forward. But I'm thankful I got the job.
What was that process like for you? Because this wasn't a quick decision that the organization made. They looked outside. They conducted interviews before they hired you for this job. Was it unnerving at all, kind of playing the waiting game to see if you were going to land this gig?
No, I was okay, because the one thing that is great about Michael and Will, Michael Wing and Will Dawkins, is that they were straightforward and honest from the get-go. And they explained to me what they were going to do and how this was going to go, that I was going to have a chance for that, and just had to stick with the process. So it was very straightforward. They were very honest, and that's how they operate. That's how we operate here. So I never had any trepidation on nervousness. It was just, hey, just stick to what they're saying. We'll go through it, and then we'll see what happens here at the end.
These are, one of 30, right? Like, everybody wants a head coaching job. They're rare in professional sports. But was there something about this job that specifically appealed to you that made you think that, look, not only do I want this job because I want to be a head coach, but I want this job in particular?
Yeah, this one for sure. And, when I even got the chance of being assistant here, I wanted to be part of this, because of ownership and Ted, but also because, his support and what he understood what we were going to do, but also with Michael and Will, two guys I'd worked with before, two guys who I really trusted. And, obviously I've been through some rebuilding situations in the past, like, we were going to do it the right way. And you don't get these opportunities often in pro sports to really cement something, to build a foundation. And to me, like, this is like the most exciting thing you can do, is you get to put your stamp on something. That's why this one was so, being part of this organization, then getting the chance to be the head coach of this, like, this is to me the number one place I wanted to be. So excited to be part of this thing as we grow this thing and work in partnership with Michael and Will. Couldn't be more thrilled. Like, these are rare opportunities in pro sports to do things the right way, and we have that chance here.
So what was that moment like when you get the phone call, or whether there was a face-to-face meeting, and you are officially an NBA head coach?
Yeah, obviously very surreal. Had my family surrounding me, my wife and my daughters, and, a special moment for all of us. A little bit of emotion, obviously. I'm not afraid to say that. So it's like, you kind of take a deep breath. You're like, wow, that's pretty, you, like you said, one of 30. And that, is a humbleness and gratefulness that I have towards that, because, not everybody gets these chances. So I was really thankful.
Yeah. And look, there's no sugarcoating. It is a big challenge in front of you. I mean, from the outside, you just have kind of this odd roster, sort of. You've got a bunch of veteran guys, Kyle Brogdon, just signed JV. That's a group of guys that is playing to win right away. They want to compete. Then you've got some younger guys that still want to win, but they're in more of a developmental stage, whether it's Bilal, Alex Saar, Corey Kispert, Johnny Davis. What do you want this team to be? Like, what do you hope? What are your hopes for this season?
And we want to develop a style that, A, first of all, we want everybody to develop and get better. But we want to develop a style that's going to be sustainable. That's going to win when we really want to push the gas and go forward. So that's growing the team individually, but also as a team to develop a style that's going to translate to winning at the highest level. That's going to be sustainable and deep playoff runs. So that's my sole focus, is how do we do that? And then we do that by step-by-step process, habits, daily things. And I think if we keep stacking those type of days together, then we're going to have a product. When we look up, they're like, we're going to build something that's lasting. And that's the goal here.
Do you feel like, though, you've got a roster that's in kind of two different places with, you know, a bunch of veterans and a bunch of guys in their first or second year?
I don't feel that way. No, I think they, all these guys complement each other. These, you know, JV signed here. Jonas wanted to be part of this. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Malcolm came part of the trade, but his leadership has been great. So we got high character guys, Kyle, Jordan, guys who love to play the game. So I think they fit with the character and the makeup of the guys that we are, the younger developing players. So I think they are all part of a group that is growing and transitioning into building something that's going to get better day to day. But I do not feel that way now.
Mm-hmm. You do have some really interesting young guys. I mean, Bilal was interesting last year. When you finally got a chance to coach him, yeah, what did you make of him? What do you think his potential is?
You know, I was really impressed with him first year. I worked with him specifically before I became the head coach, so I had developed a really good relationship. This is a guy who was 19 years old, had maturity beyond his years, wise young man, but a guy who loved the game and loved to work. So we put him out there really early in the season to guard the best players. And what a great experience for him. We think he can be a really high-level defender for us, a guy who can guard multiple positions. And then someone who has his offensive games growing, be a playmaker, someone who can attack downhill. But we're really excited for Bilal's future, most importantly, because of the character and the work ethic. And those are the type of guys that we've identified we want. And he was the first one we drafted with Will and Michael that fits that bill.
What do you like about that trial by fire defensively? A lot of coaches tend to do that, where you say to the young guy, like, all right, man, you go guard, you know, LeBron, or you go guard the best wing player that's out there. I mean, is there any danger to putting a guy out there and getting cooked by a guy that's 10 years older than him?
Well, first of all, he was our best player to do that. So he was our best player on our roster. We were going to put our best player to do that, and that just happened to be a 19-year-old from France. So, but I also do believe, like, you need to go through the rite of passage. You need to go through the fire and come out of the other end. I think those experiences are invaluable, because we saw from him, the guy with the right character, week by week, he was growing. These experiences were hardening him and understanding the league and what it takes to be the type of player that's going to be sustainable and winning when we want to. I thought it was great. And we will continue to do those things for sure.
You've also got kind of a slice of the French Revolution happening there in Washington with Bilal, with Alex Saar. I mean, what do you make of this kind of influx of talent coming from France?
Yeah, obviously interesting. Like, they, you know, some major high picks the last couple of years. We're thrilled with the guys we have, so I'll focus on two. Those two guys, we're thrilled to have Alex. What he brings to the table, his versatility defensively, you know, being able to guard multiple positions. But obviously, France is setting up to develop a pretty good, they made the finals of the Olympics this year, and I think there's more talent coming. So it's interesting for sure.
Have you picked up on any French along the way last season?
Not very well, but they are helping me, those young men. We have another one, Keyshawn George, who's from Switzerland, who also freaks French. So we got three French, and then we got Alexis Agenza, who's on our coaching staff, who obviously has played on the French national team himself. So we got a few.
I like it. I like it. You know, with Alex, when he struggles the way he did at the start of Summer League, and look, Summer League's not as inconsequential. It's where guys, you know, get their feet wet in basketball. But when a guy misses a bunch of shots like he does at the start of Summer League, do you say anything to him at that point when you got a young guy that, you know, his first NBA taste is just missing everything for the first couple of games?
I think you always address certain things, but the one thing that I was really super proud of Alex was, so he had some, he didn't make some shots. Okay, but how did he respond? Well, he kept playing. He didn't drop his head. He didn't show bad body language. Continued to make the right play and the winning play. Didn't affect his defense. So I thought that was actually pretty mature for a guy who was just got drafted at 19 years old. And, you know, he had some adversity, and that's okay. I wasn't concerned about it at all, but he kept playing. And I thought that was a good sign of the type of person we want here. He was able to fight through something that, you know, happened in the game that you probably wouldn't want to happen, but he showed good resolve and continued to play the right way. And I think those are things that are going to stand the test of time for him.
This was one of those rare drafts where the first couple of picks weren't necessarily slotted. You didn't know, you know, come draft night where exactly the first couple of teams were going to go. When you worked Alex out and when you watched him on film, what stood out to you the most about the way he plays the game?
Yeah, I think his number one is defensive versatility, ability to protect the rim, but also his ability to probably guard 1 through 5 at some point in his career. Guard on the perimeter, guard on the guard bigs, guard smalls, switch. I mean, obviously that's where the NBA game has gone, kind of positionless. So this is a guy that we thought could do those things and grow into those things. And then the other thing was that his skill set, he saw the game well. He sees the game. He's a good passer. So he's a willing passer and sees the game pretty well. So I thought those two skills just in itself, with the size and the versatility and the athleticism, plus a guy who's got high character, who wants to work, who wants to be in the gym. You know, those were things I was so excited that I get a chance to coach him and help him grow and develop his career. Couldn't be more thrilled to have Alex.
It's kind of crazy how defensive versatility has moved its way up the list of the most important qualities for an NBA player, because we're probably 20 years removed from tweener being a bad word in basketball circles. Now, if you can get a guy, like you said, that might be able to guard 1 to 5, I mean, that's got to be a top three attribute for a player.
Yeah, I mean, you want guys who can play on both ends of the ball and make decisions on both sides. I think that's what you see when you start getting to the, you know, conference semifinals, finals, playoff basketball. You got 5 guys who can make plays on offense, make good decisions, but you got 5 guys who can guard. You know, I think that eventually he's going to be one of those guys who can guard all of them, and you know, what a unique skill set to have. So we're thrilled about that.
So Jordan Poole, tough year last year, at least shooting the basketball, his percentages dropped across the board. He did have some kind of viral moments on social media that had people wondering about whether or not he was a good teammate, good locker room guy with that group. What do you need out of Jordan Poole this year?
You know, if you follow this closely last year, Jordan Poole had a great second half of the year. And he had a great, you know, I had Jordan come off the bench. We thought that was a better move for him, where the way our roster was constructed last year, I wanted him to have the ball more as a lead initiator, to be someone who would attack. And if you look at really his numbers past post All-Star break, they were pretty good. Actually, probably what he was doing in past years in Golden State. So like, we need Jordan to be himself. I need Jordan to be aggressive, to attack downhill, look for himself and look for others, because the one thing that you will notice about him when we play opposing teams, he is number one on the scouting report. Other teams respect Jordan, and he causes a large crowd. So we just want him to be aggressive, be in attack mode for himself, but also for his others, because he can really pass when he's in that mode, and we wanted him to do that. So I was actually really thrilled with how he played at the end of last year. You know, he found a resolve in himself too, which he had some early struggles, and he'd be the first to admit that. But he's a good someone in the model for what we want here. This is a guy who works, who puts in the time. And I've been around a lot of guys, and he's at the top of the list in terms of his craft and how he tries to master that. So I want Jordan to be himself. I want him to be aggressive. I think he's going to have a great year.
So do you enter this year thinking sixth man is the best role for him?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think that at all. That was how our roster was constructed last year. We had, you know, multiple ball handlers. We had Tyus, who was, you know, our point guard, and I felt like I needed to have him and the ball to start. And then Jordan came off the bench, allowed him to thirst that. But when, you know, Tyus got injured, Jordan started and played. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, obviously all things are open. I'm not going to reveal my whole starting today, but Jordan will obviously figure to be a big key component for us.
So you kind of alluded to this, but did you see a shift in kind of his approach, you know, past that midseason mark, where not only the numbers are improving, but maybe, you know, how he's acting is improving?
You know, I never really had a problem with how he was acting, because I saw what was happening behind the scenes. Yeah, some people maybe saw some moments on the court and they could maybe make an opinion on that. What I was basing my opinion was what I saw every day on that court. First one here, working, good teammate behind the scenes, helping people out. This is a guy who really cares about the game. So like I saw all that stuff. I knew that it would turn for him once we probably gave him the ball more. Mm-hmm. Once we gave him the ball more, he went like this. And I continue to think those things are going to happen this year. So I'm excited for Jordan.
Before I let you go, how do you define success this season? Obviously, you've got young players. You're not challenging for championships just yet. But what is the bar for success to you this year?
First of all, we're going to measure that for us on a day-to-day basis. Like, we're going to challenge ourselves to get better on a day-to-day basis. And how many days can we consistently stack that we're improving in our habits and our preparation? And then how well can we play as a unit, as a team? I thought we saw a lot of good growth last year from individually. I thought some guys really stepped up and grew. But now we're going to look to see if we can do that collectively more. I think that's how we're going to measure us. We want to get better each month. And then by the end of this year, that we can show a brand of basketball that's going to be something that's going to be building to something later on that's going to be sustainable. And I think that's what I said initially, Chris, was that we want to build something sustainable, and we want to build a style offensively and defensively that's going to be built to win. And that's our sole focus every day.
And were you seeing that even during like the stretch where you're like, I think 8-31 down the stretch, were you seeing that kind of incremental improvement that gives you some optimism for the one going into this season?
Yes, for sure. You know, in the games I coached, we were first in crunch time games, which is, you know, plus or minus five in the last 5 minutes. We led the league in those amount of games, and we weren't playing a lot of those early in the season. So we played in a ton of them. We didn't win all of them, but we are putting ourselves in position to learn and to grow and to get into those experiences. It was great for our roster, great for our guys. So I saw growth and resilience and toughness and mentality and how we were preparing. I saw those. And that was our whole message, was that was going to be our jump start into going into the offseason, that this is just the beginning. We're going to make growth here, and then we're going to keep pushing ourselves in the offseason to kind of springboard us into this training camp coming up in a few weeks.
Well, Brian, congrats on the job. I always love it when assistant coaches get an opportunity. You certainly have earned yours. And I got to tell you, if you can find a way in the coming years to lead the Wizards to a championship, I feel comfortable saying that you will pass Bob Bigelow as one of Winchester's finest.
Well, that'd be pretty cool. So, yeah.
Appreciate your time, Brian.
Thank you.